Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
Y'all ready for this? I don't think you are. I don't think you're ready for this. I get to talk today from 1 Kings chapter 19. Before we do that, though, this is a true story of George Phillips in Meridian, Mississippi, who's going to bed when his wife told him that he had left the light on the shed. So he goes out and he looks. He says, I didn't leave the light on. So he goes out and he looks and he sees some people out in his shed and they're breaking into his shed. So he calls the cops and he says, hey, I got a couple guys breaking into my shed right now. Can you send some police over? And the dispatcher said, well, we don't have anybody. We'll send somebody over as soon as we get somebody free. So he hangs up the phone, waits about a minute, pulls the phone back up, redials the dispatcher and says, hey, you don't have to worry about sending those police over. I just shot both of them. Literally, he counted within 5 minutes, there was five police cars, an armed response unit, and an ambulance showed up. Of course, police got all mad at him when they caught the thieves red-handed and said, why'd you do that? And he said, I thought you told us there was nobody available. So dads, beware when dads get creative, right? So why do this sermon series? We were talking about Elijah and Elisha, and a lot of people think that if you're a man of God, you have some special place and power. So I want to ask you, did anybody read at least one chapter from the Gospels this past week? Raise your hand if you did, at least one chapter. All right, so a lot of you took me seriously, and I've been hearing all kinds of cool things. You know, there were some people with attitudes. I don't want to read that. And then they started reading it, and God spoke to them, and they're like, oh, maybe I should. So I'm going to challenge you. It's not too late. I'm challenging everybody. Now, you're going to have to get on. You're going to have to literally read two chapters a day. But before this summer is over, if you read two chapters a day, starting with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, before the summer's over, you can read the entire gospel accounts of the most powerful and influential man who ever lived on the face of the earth. So make sure that you read this week two chapters a day. Come on, two chapters a day. I made this very clear. For some of you, that's toilet reading, all right? Do it. I'm as serious as I can be. Do it. Two chapters a day. Start with Matthew. Go all the way. I had some great conversations with people this week about it because the fact of the matter is, I noticed something reading this week. I noticed that Jesus did a lot of miracles. Do you know he did a lot of miracles? Did y'all know that? You did. Then why do we pray? Because he said, in my reading this week, he said that we can ask and we will receive from our Heavenly Father. So before we start, before we get all into the passage today, anybody need a miracle today? Maybe it's physical, spiritual, whatever. You need a miracle? If you do, stand up right now. Come on. Come on, stand up. If you need a miracle, stand up. I don't know. You know, maybe some people, they've got it all under control. Or maybe their life is great. That's great. I'm cool with that. But if you need a miracle, I want you to stand up right now. All right. Father, the same Jesus who did miracles all throughout the Gospels is the same Jesus that is in this room right now. I ask you to say the word, and your children will experience your power. I read this morning about this woman that Jesus said, it's not right for me to take the goods of the children and throw it to dogs. And she said, but even dogs get the crumbs. So right now, in the name of Jesus, would you give us a couple of crumbs this morning? And in the name of Jesus, there would be miracle working power fill this room and that lives would experience the power of Jesus Christ right now. Thank you. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. All right. So why am I doing a sermon series about Elijah and Elisha? Because people think men of God have something special. Men of God don't have anything special. James 5, 17, 18 says, Elijah was just as human as we are, yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. You see, he was just like us. And since he was just like us and he was powerfully used by God, you too can be powerfully used by God. So consider the confidence he had on God that he said, no rain's going to fall. Maybe the only difference between you and Elijah is that he had confidence in the God he served. So I'm going to ask you to act like you have confidence in the God you serve. As we journey through these stories, we'll learn that ordinary people can do extraordinary things. So today I want to tell you an incredible story. I'm trying to rush to get to it because the story's so good. Elijah had just faced down the 450 prophets of Baal. Do y'all remember that story? He had just faced them down on Mount Carmel. And Elijah had boldly declared God would answer by fire. He had seen the prophets killed. He had taken authority. He was powerful. Come on. Wasn't that a powerful story? Isn't that a powerful story? He is bold. He is strong. He is in control. And everybody knows it, right? All right. So we're at 1 Kings chapter 19. Y'all there? Here we go. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." And Elijah, the bold, powerful man of God, what did he do? Come on, what did he do? He ran afraid. How is it that you can go from bold, powerful man declaring what God will do, watching it happen, both with rain and with fire? And with rain, because it rained again after he made his declaration. He said, now it's time for it to rain. And after 3 years, it rained. So we're talking about a man of incredible passion, intensity, and power with God. Are we not? But yet one woman says one sentence, and he runs afraid. Wow. Father, I pray that today you would help me to proclaim this word of God today and let our hearts be open to what you would say in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I want you to realize we're talking about two powers in this sentence. There are two powers here. The first power is the natural power of a woman's voice. All the guys in the room, say amen. All right, all the guys can understand this. No woman can understand this. What does every man hear when a woman yells at him? No woman can understand what a man hears when a woman yells at him. But every guy knows what a guy hears when a woman yells at him. The clip I'm about to use, you're going to sit and you're going to have a predisposition to this clip. I'm going to tell you have a predisposition. I don't want you to think about the rights or the wrongs of the mom, okay? I don't want you to think about whether her discipline is correct or whether she's out of control. I don't want you to think about any of that. I don't want you to even think about how awesome it was she did what she did. I want you to think about one thing and one thing only. Y'all ready? What does the young man hear? What does he feel when he hears this? What fills his heart? All right, you ready? Go. All right, that's enough. The natural power of a mom's voice. The natural power of mom's voice. I'm not debating right or wrongs of anything she said or did, and I could talk about that all day long if we're talking about disciplining children, but I'm not talking about that. I want you to think about what he heard. What did he do when she started yelling? Come on, what did he do? He ran. He ran. He turned away. He did whatever. And I just want you to think, it may be appropriate for moms to scold a child in need of discipline, but if, as a man, that is how you feel when your wife says to you, "Why didn't you take the garbage out?" If that's the feeling you get when she says, "Why didn't you do this?" or "You do that?" or "Pick up your socks," or whatever it may be. If that's the feeling that comes through you, then you can never have a healthy husband-wife relationship with a woman that makes you feel that way. Well, this is serious stuff. You can never have a healthy job if you've got a woman superior or a woman coworker, and when she complains about you not putting the toilet seat down in the bathroom or picking up your papers, if you hear that, if that's how you feel and that's what you hear, you can never then have a healthy dialogue in a relationship. And a lot of us as guys, whenever a woman says anything negatively to us, that's what we feel. And that is the part of the power of what happens from the strength of a mom's voice disciplining you and speaking to you in your life. But at some point, you got to grow up and become a man. The Apostle Paul said, I left childish ways behind. And at some point, you're going to have to grow up and you're going to have to hear a woman's voice as a woman's voice, not as that. It's quiet in here this morning because I really got into some deep stuff, didn't I? Yeah, so there is a natural power to a woman's voice. I do not undermine that, but I'm telling you, at some point, we need to grow up. Guys, Father's Day, let me tell you, at some point, we need to grow up. Ladies, at some point, you're going to have to change your approach a little bit. Because if you approach a man like that, don't be surprised if you can never have a relationship with a man. All right, y'all follow me? All right, good. Woo, tough stuff, because I have to talk about Jezebel today. There is a second power at work here, though. There's, first of all, the power of the male-female relationship, which is a weird relationship. There's a second power at work here, though, and that second power is the power of the Jezebel spirit. Now, there is such a thing as a Jezebel spirit. We know that because in the book of, I had a lot to say. I'll just skip all that. Second is Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. The prophet is writing. He says to the church, he says, I have this against you. Jesus says, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophet. Now, what's going on here is there are the natural tensions of a male-female relationship, but there is something else that happens, and this Jezebel spirit doesn't have to be attached to a woman. It can be attached to a man as well. And a Jezebel spirit is a Jezebel spirit that tries to do something. It tries to intimidate and control through fear and manipulation. And Elijah was attacked not just by the voice of a woman, he was attacked by, listen, a spirit that made him afraid and cowardly and made him run. And when Jesus was talking to a church in the book of Revelation, he said, I have a problem with you that you tolerate. Listen to the word. You put up with demonic spirit, a demonic spirit that causes you to be intimidated and makes you want to run and hide. Anybody ever felt that? Come on. Anybody ever felt intimidated and want to run? The rest of you are lying. You are just lying. Be careful here. Come on. All right. As a pastor, I felt this spirit a couple of times in my existence. I'm not going to go into those. But I'll tell you what it makes you want to do. I listened to a great sermon about this. And in the sermon, like I was listening to the sermon thinking, how is this guy living my life? Because he was explaining word for word everything that was going on in my world. And I was like, wow. And I want to tell you, it is a spirit. And do you know how you get rid of that spirit that makes you want to run from your marriage and run from your job and run from your kids? Come on. How do you get rid of that spirit? Let me tell you how you get rid of it. You don't tolerate it. What does don't tolerate means? It means you just don't put up with the thoughts and the attitudes and even where it's coming from. When it comes from somebody, even somebody you love, you say, no, you ain't doing that. You are not, I don't think you get that. You are not doing this. You don't tolerate it. And tolerate it means that you simply play it over in your brain. The more you think about it, looking in the mirror in the morning, guess what's going to happen? The more power that Jezebel spirit's going to have over you, right? All right. So, this spiritually powerful man becomes a spineless wimp because of a simple attack. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3, when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, and he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and he came to a broom bush, and he sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. Wow. We're talking about total hopelessness here, right? All right, have I painted a negative enough picture? Can I give you the answer now? Would y'all like the answer? All right, good. We're going to look at four. Our text today gives us four actions that you can take to get your mojo back. To get your mojo back, to get back on the right track, there are four steps, and we're going to take them. Look at number one. Elijah's first action was to take time to take care of his body. If you are physically depleted as a person, you will not be able to spiritually stand up. Do you know it takes energy to fight? So take care of your body. 1 Kings 19:5, then he lay down under a bush, and he did what? He fell what? Asleep. And at once an angel touched him and said, get up and come on. So he took care of his body by feeding it and by resting it. So if your body is weak, you will have greater struggles controlling your actions. Didn't Jesus say, the spirit is willing, but your flesh is, come on, weak. Anybody ever have weak flesh? Yeah, you need, there's a time for fasting and prayer. There is a time for fasting and prayer. There is a time to sleep and eat and relax. You notice that taking care of his body, part of what he did here is he went on a vacation. He got away. He literally got away. But he didn't go away and do more stuff on his vacation so that he came home tireder than when he went away. There are times for those vacations, but it's vacation season. Some of you are going to go on vacation. You're going to spend more money than you want to spend. You're going to do things you don't want to do, and you're going to come back tired, and you're going to wonder why. I just can't seem to get back in the flow of things. Because you didn't vacate, you increased your tension. Me and Pastor Mike had a conversation about his vacation this year. I sat and talked to him. I talked him out of what he was wanting to do. Well, I didn't have to talk very hard because he's a very smart man. Because he knew if he had taken that vacation, he would have come home tired and worn out. And he needed to rest. Studies have shown that men who struggle with pornography do so the most intensely when they are physically tired and feeling lonely. Guys, when you're physically tired, your defenses are down. Get some rest. It is not a sin. I am a workaholic, all right? It is my sin. I work because I like to work, okay? I like to work. I like to feel productive. But do you know what I found out? When I work too much, I'm not productive. Do you know why? I spend my time chasing stupid stuff. Get some rest. Turn off the TV, put away the video games, whatever it is you're doing, go to bed. Take a nap. All right. Man, it's like I'm preaching and nobody's listening. I'd say, come on. I'm telling you, every man in the room ought to say, take a nap. Amen to that, brother. Hallelujah. Right? All right. God gave you a body. Let me tell you, your body is not evil. Even the desires you have in your body is not evil. It's what you do with them that determines whether it's evil or not. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your bodies are temple of the Holy Spirit? Your body is literally a temple of the Holy Spirit. If you feed it junk food, guess what kind of behavior you're going to get out of your body? 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, therefore, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies. Ladies, gentlemen, listen to me, please. If you live on donuts in the morning, don't be surprised when you run out of energy. Honor God with the diet that you have. Would anybody buy a brand new, come on. I thought I saw one the other day, a Maserati. Will anybody get a brand new Maserati, pull up to the gas tank and go in and fill up a 44-ounce of Diet Coke and go pour it in the gas tank? Would anybody pour Pepsi in the gas tank of your new Maserati? Would anybody in the room do that? No? Why not? Because it will ruin it. The fuel, it's not the fuel it runs on. Think about your diet. Think about your diet. Think about your sleep habits. You are fueling yourself. And if you're feeling beat down and you're losing your mojo, come on, take care of your body. Exercise, proper sleep. I started to bring a backpack in with about 50 pounds of weight this morning and put it on somebody about right now, but I don't have time for it. But could you imagine if I took a 50-pound backpack filled with 50-pound weight, or I gave you one of those 45-pound wheels, you know, those workout wheels, and I were to told you to strap it to your belly, 45 pounds, and walk around with that all day long, how would you feel at the end of the day? Tired, sore, angry, wore out. Some of you are carrying around 45 pounds plus, and you're wondering why your knees always hurt. Do you know why your knees always hurt? I'll tell you why. Because you're carrying around too much weight. I'm not being mean to you. I'm simply telling you that if you want to get the most out of your life, discipline your bodies. Second, embrace the truth. How appropriate. And number two, embrace the truth. Elijah was very honest with God about what he felt. How many feelings do we trust around here? Come on, how many feelings do we trust? None of them. We don't trust our feelings, but what we should do is learn to express our feelings. So in 1 Kings 19:9, he said he went to a cave and spent the night there, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword, and I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too." Now, is he wrong in his feelings? I didn't ask whether his feeling was wrong. I asked whether he was wrong to have the feeling. He's not wrong to have the feeling. But what did he do with the feeling? Did he keep it bottled up inside him? No, he talked it out with God. When you have feelings, you should have safe people and safe prayers. Read the book of Psalms. You will find out God is not upset when you say stupid things in prayer. God likes it when you say stupid things in prayer. That way you can recognize how stupid you are. Pray what you're feeling. It is not a problem. Say what you think. Think what you say. So God is not afraid of your opinions. Tell him what you think and feel in unfiltered terms. Can I let you in on a little secret? Some of my best prayers contain words that would get me fired from this job. He already knows your thoughts, so why are you afraid to tell him? Sometimes when you hear yourself praying, you know what happens a lot when I'm praying and I'm griping? I think, man, I'm being a selfish jerk right now. Anybody ever pray a prayer and think that? Yeah, man, am I being a jerk right now. And then I can get an attitude correction. God doesn't even have to talk. I just listen to myself and I realize where I'm wrong. Right? 1 Kings 19:8, though, I want you to notice what happened when Elijah had an unfiltered prayer with God and he told him, "I'm the only one left." God said in 1 Kings 19:8, he said, I reserve 7,000 in Israel whose knees have not bowed to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. So in other words, you're not the only one. Boy, suck it up. I love it. He told God the truth, and God spoke the truth back to him, and they had a truth-filled conversation. And what happened because of a truth-filled conversation? Well, we'll find out. John chapter 8, verse 32 says this, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." A guy once told me years ago, I can't say much more than this, but man, he got mad at me because I told him that he needed to cut up his credit card and he needed to live on what he made. And he got all mad at me. I mean, he got mad at me. He was like yelling, screaming, and eventually left the church partly because of that conversation because he's mad at me. I got a call from him a couple years ago. You know what he told me? "Gee, I wish I'd listened to you." "You were right." I was like, "Dude, you're awesome. Thanks for finally admitting how perfect I am." No, I'm joking. I'm not perfect. I just realized that if you live your life out of control, you're not going to like your life, right? Isn't that truth? All right, so all I was encouraging him to do was discipline himself, because you got to discipline yourself to pay the credit card at some point. Why not discipline yourself to buy the stuff rather than paying interest on things you've already flushed down the toilet? Are things that are sitting in your closet that you'll never wear again and you're paying 20% interest on it. That's stupid. Can anybody say that's stupid? It is. It's just dumb to buy something, put it in a closet, and pay 20% on it for the next 5 years. That's just dumb. So don't live off a credit card. Save your money, budget yourself, and live. And he got mad at me, and he got mad at me, and he didn't want to hear it. But when he finally heard it, he's starting to get his finances in order. Because the truth sets you free. So tell God the truth in prayer. Let him tell you the truth back. All right, thirdly of all, take care of your spirit. This is my favorite part of the whole time because I'm a little bit of an ethereal kind of person. I really am. I know. I try to be practical, but I'm going to tell you, I have been impacted by the supernatural power of God in this life. So I think a little supernaturally sometimes because I've heard God change my direction and watch the miracles that happen. And if you've ever gone through that, then you're a little more open to hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit change your direction. Anyway, it's different, sir, different time. 1 Kings 19:11, the Lord God said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. So God says, I want to talk to you. God wants to renew your spirit. Listen, it's one thing to take care of your body. It's one thing to embrace the truth with your mind, but you need to refresh your spirit. Your spirit. You are a spiritual person. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain. The presence of the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. How many think that miracle right there, powerful wind breaking the mountains apart, that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? But it says God was not in the wind. That powerful act, God was not in that. Then what happened? After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire. Fire. We want fire, the Holy Ghost. Fire. God was not in the fire. I want you to notice that all three things consume and destroy. No, you need to get this. He was on the mountain wanting the power of God, and he wanted the power of God in the powerful wind that breaks things, the powerful fire that consumes things, the powerful earthquake that shakes things. But God wasn't in the process of destroying because he was getting his mojo back. He was being built, and you don't get built when God comes in and messes up more stuff. Are y'all ready? Come on. This is good stuff. So what does God do to a guy who needs help? He speaks a gentle whisper. It says right there in the text, after the fire came a gentle whisper, and Elisha heard it, and Elisha heard it. Listen, God wants to talk to you. In the middle of whatever crisis you're in, whatever the middle of the problem that you face or the thing, the issue that you can't seem to master, the thing that makes you frustrated, the kids that make you want to strangle them. Oh, come on, don't sit there all holy. My children are cherubim and seraphim. Really? Let me come to your house about 2 a.m. while they're flipping out, and we'll see what cherubim's up to, right? And we'll see you. Ah! In that moment, you need the Holy Spirit. You don't need you. You're not strong enough to handle that. You need to pray in the Spirit and hear a voice of God telling you how to get that kid to go to sleep before you flip out and say something you'll regret. Right? And just wait until they're teenagers. It only gets more fun then. Or just wait until it's your boss or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a husband or wife. Come on. You need the voice of the Holy Spirit. You need to get used to that still small voice speaking to you what you need to hear. There's only one way to learn that voice. That's to do something very, very difficult for us. Come on, what would it be? You got to listen. You got to shut up. You got to turn the radio off. Turn the TV off. And get somewhere alone. And let God talk to you. And if you've lost your mojo, you need to spend some time. I'll tell you, there's a great park bench up at the end of State Route 83. And you can sit there and you can listen to the waves roll in. And you can sit and listen to the voice of God. I've done it numerous times. When you need the voice of the Holy Spirit, you get away from all the stuff and you close in with him. He will talk. Oh, trust me, Daddy wants to talk to you. He wants to tell you something. And some of you need to get your mojo back by hearing the Holy Spirit speak to you, saying, hey, hang with it, or change this, or do that, whatever it is. All right, and then the fourth thing, oh my goodness, You must devote yourself to being spiritually healthy by doing a couple things. Number one, be consistent with the fellowship of believers. You got to come to church. I know it's Father's Day. Y'all are going to have to listen for a couple seconds. I was at CBC. I know. It's real uncomfortable to be a part of a small group at a church, right? It's real uncomfortable to be vulnerable with people and to go to a life group in somebody's house. And I understand that's a little uncomfortable. But I want to tell you a little story. I got in a little trouble at CBC, so I was on disciplinary probation. That was a Bible college. I was on disciplinary probation. And anything I did that broke any rule, I'm kicked out of college. I have to go home to my parents and tell them, you wasted, you know, come on. They're not a good thing to get kicked out of college, right? Well, the other boys I was hanging out with, for some reason, they were all on disciplinary probation too. So we're all on disciplinary probation. We decide that we want to go see a movie. And it's the midnight movie, but there's a curfew at CBC, and that curfew is like 12 o'clock. Well, if you're going to see a midnight movie, you're having a problem about making curfew at... All right, y'all follow me? There's a problem here. So I have my pickup truck, and I've got my camper on the back of my pickup truck because I've always been an Oklahoma man that drives a truck. I love my truck. There you go. It's right outside. I ain't got much luck, but I sure got... Oh, sorry. Anyway, here we go. We go to the midnight movie. It's about 2 in the morning. There's no place open. Come on. You can only sit at Denny's so long. Finally, about 3 o'clock in the morning, we're all just blurry-eyed, tired, sleepy. We can't go back to campus. If we do, we're all, if anybody catches us, we're all kicked out. We can't do it, right? It's about 40 degrees outside, and we didn't bring a sleeping bag, but we're all so tired. Do you know what we did? We all went and laid down the back of my pickup truck. Now, come on. What's the bed of a pickup truck made out of? Steel. Anybody ever slept on cold steel when it's 40 degrees outside? I don't like snuggling with men. But that night, the four of us snuggled to stay alive. I didn't really like it. It didn't bring me a lot of pleasure, but I'm going to tell you something. If you need something bad enough, you will do what you're uncomfortable with to make yourself healthy. And some of you are still fighting this. I don't want to be a part of the life group. Well, it's freezing out in this world. You need to get in somewhere and get some warmth in you. Be consistent with your fellowship of believers. Second of all, acquaint yourself with the Word of God. I'm encouraging you. Read those two chapters a day from the Gospels. And thirdly of all, listen to the voice of the Spirit. Have you ever been talking to somebody on the phone that won't shut up? Anybody ever been there? You're talking on the phone to them, and they just will not shut up. And you do this. Anybody ever do this? Oh, yeah. All right, there's a lot of you. You've done this, right? Be careful when you're praying. God's not up in heaven going. All right, fourthly of all, invest in others. This is probably my favorite part. Invest in others. Because the most healthy thing we can do is stop being selfish and invest in others. You want to get your mojo back? Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Then why do we think we always need to receive? Because the most important thing you can do after you've rested up your body, you've refreshed your spirit, the most important thing you can do is give. 1 Kings 19:15-16, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came, go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint, notice the key word, anoint Hazael, king over Aram, anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. Anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat from Avel, as a prophet. What happened? Elijah went back and invested in the next generation. Some of you think you're too old. You don't have anything to offer. Liar. You're a liar. Tell your story. Pray for one of these kids. Get one around here. Make them your special project. Every time you see them, give them a hug. Tell them I'm praying for you. You get a chance, invite them over to your house. Give them a cup of coffee. Give them a pop. Give them Gatorade. Give them cold water. Give them hot water. I don't care what you do. Just get in the presence of one of these kids and pour out some of your experiences. You don't have to solve their problems. Just listen to them talk. And when they tell a story, you tell a story. How hard is it to love, to pray, and to invest? Quit being selfish. Some of you say, I did my time in the nursery. The most important room in this church is the nursery. I want people who are back there loving our kids, praying for them, laying hands on their heads, and praying that Jesus would fill them with the Holy Ghost and power. They would grow up to be dynamos for the faith. Why is it you think that it's all right for you to sit in your life and just mojo your life away trying, I'm trying to get control? Well, yeah, if you're trying to get your mojo back, invest. Jesus said, and I will quote him again, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Elijah had a good moment on Mount Carmel, but the nation, if it was going to be positively changed, he needed a team. Because we all found out this week, the best player in the world can't beat a team. Isn't that the truth? You can be the most talented person in the world. You can have the most talented pastor in the world. But without a great team, nothing's happening. You have something to give. You need to be a part of the team. You need to invest. You need to serve. So, Dad, I want you to get your mojo back. So here's how we're going to end today. I'm going to ask every dad in this room to stand up. Every dad, would you stand up? The first thing we're going to do for every dad in this room is, ladies and youngsters, I think you need to give these dad a hand. That's wimpy. Come on. Let them know you love them and appreciate them. I'm going to ask every man in this room, every male in this room, and Caitlin ain't here, so every man, stand up. Come on, every guy, come on. That was bad, I know. Allow me to be bad. Come on, occasionally. Every guy in the room, come on, every guy on your feet. Every male. Are you a male? If you are a male, stand up. If you are a male, stand up. That means you don't, come on your feet, all of you. Here's the deal. I'm going to pray a prayer over you. Okay? I want to pray a prayer for us. Father, help these men to be men of God, men of character, men of integrity, men of courage and boldness and dangerousness. And that they would have the voice of God ringing through their heads. And the actions and power of the Holy Spirit moving through their body. Help them honor you with their body. Honor you with their minds. Honor you with their lives. Fill them right now with the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Protect them. Keep them safe. Help them to handle those voices in their heads. And when that Jezebel spirit attacks them, if it does at any moment in their life, when they begin to lead and they begin to get powerful, when that Jezebel spirit attacks them and tells them, you should just run and find another woman, or you should run and do that, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would not tolerate that demonic spirit, but they would take a stand in the name of Jesus Christ, and we would be men of faith in the midst of a crooked and a perverse world. And everybody said,